You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Hello, a big welcome to you to today's Nature Connection show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm delighted to be with you here today. This is my first live show for a few weeks, as I've been through quite a big transition in the last few months, having relocated from the UK to the south of France and just getting into a new groove here, just outside a very, very hot and sunny Bordeaux, which I'm loving. So in today's show, in the second part of the show, I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about my move to France, how the Nature Kingdom has supported me in this move, both through the seasons, the equinoxes, the moon cycles, and also the essences that I have been taking, and also the essential oil blends that I've been using to support me in this process. But first of all, I have a very exciting guest on this show. I'm going to be speaking to award-winning coach, intuitive and author Tiffany Crossara, and Tiffany is going to be sharing with you some really deep transformational information about the use of the tarot. Now, this is not tarot in the everyday sense of the word. Tiffany dives much deeper below that and looks at the real cycles below the tarot and how we can all use that in a very easy way in our lives. So join me after the break, where I'll be talking to Tiffany. I'll see you very soon. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connections show. My name's Sarah Turner and you're listening to Natural Health Radio. Today I'm delighted to welcome my guest, Tiffany Crossara. Tiffany is an award-winning coach, TV intuitive and author, and works with the tarot. Welcome to Nature Connections, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
You're very welcome. I'm quite excited about our next half an hour and what I'm going to learn, as well as all the listeners. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work as this transformational tarot teacher that you are.
Yes, it's like we were saying, it's not really something you go to school and you choose your A levels in, is it?
Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could, though?
Yes, well, hopefully there is some type of evolution on the horizon on that level. In terms of when I was younger, I was 4 when I actually came across the tarot. So I came across the tarot before I came across school. And in a way, I think that was a blessing. So it might not have been during my school days, because I didn't fit in very well in any way, shape or form. But I didn't really know why that was. I just knew that I was different, you know. So I was an only child and I spent time around adults. And so you just think it's things like that as well. And I didn't really get into the tarot until I was 14, because when I was 4 years old, I saw them on my mother's living room floor, and it was the Alfred Douglas deck. I don't know if you know that. It was a 1970s deck, so it was really psychedelic in its colouring, with lots of greens and purples and just very striking and quite trippy. And so at 4 years old, you know, that opened up massive worlds. And I was really so struck that I remember that moment crystal clear now, you know, 34 years on. So that kind of stayed with me, but I didn't actually see the deck again until I was 14. And at that age, you know, you tend to be a little bit kind of dark and depressed and emo-like. And I kind of saw them lying discarded like a forgotten lover on my mother's bed and thought, I'll take them to mine. So I started reading for myself at the age of 14, but I wasn't in a great space. And I just wanted the tarot to tell me what I wanted to hear. It was like I wanted to force the nature and the rhythm of the universe to, you know, make me happy. And of course, it doesn't do that, because the tarot is just a mirror. It just reflects back to you where you are. And at 14, I didn't have that understanding. So I got pretty obsessed, and it was not great for me at all. And I had a really hard time with that learning. And that culminated when I was 19 at the time, coming on 20, and I was pregnant. And I saw in the tarot that I was going to lose the child. And I thought, that's it. I'm done with these cards. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to tell anybody what I've seen. And I'm just going to shut them away in a cupboard. And like a naughty little child, not that I would, but, you know, in those olden days, it was very much that kind of like banishing of them. And it was interesting looking back why I didn't throw them in the bin or burn them or, you know, but I just banished them into this cupboard. I must have known somewhere at the back of my head that it wasn't completely the end, but I was done with it. I was really done with it. And when my daughter was 4 months old, she did pass over to the spirit world. And then I started to tell people what I had seen. And instead of them saying, well, don't be doing that again, they started saying, well, would you read for me? And I was like, oh, goodness. And I suddenly thought, okay, people are asking me this. I still feel drawn to it. And I've seen so much that I've got to work out whether I can do this in a way that is empowering for people rather than full of fear, prediction, doom, gloom. So I went on to a course, and I really started to understand that the tarot are archetypal pictures of the rhythms of the world, the rhythms of nature. And they cannot really be controlled. The rhythms of nature is something to be flowed with, to be understood, to be worked with. And when you can do that, then the whole world kind of opens up for you. So I basically went on to read. I opened a shop in London and I went on to read there. And that was quite interesting and quite a challenge, because we were right next door to one of London's largest psychiatric hospitals. And so again, you know, this thing about tarot appealing to people in their darkest hours. And so I had to make 3 golden rules and really stick by them. And they were positivity, not negativity, healing, not prediction, and empowerment, not dependency. Yeah. And I was just chucked in at the deep end as a professional reader, really. So I had to sink or I had to swim. And what I realized was that tarot for me was more about helping people understand the rhythms of life rather than them coming to me for a reading or a prediction. I went on to work for Mysteries in Covent Garden. I was there for 8 years. And I remember when I put up my profile, I said on it that I didn't predict. And all the readers were like, well, you're going to be busy, aren't you? Going to give her, what, 24 hours, 2 weeks tops? You know, I was there for 8 years, and I think it's this thing about if you're true to yourself and you are who you are, then, you know, the people that are right will come to you. So I started to write a book. Well, it wasn't a book, it was a manual, because I got asked to teach tarot and I wrote a manual for it, and it ended up getting published. And that was basically about the misunderstandings of the tarot and how we look at it as a predictive thing, but it's the only way it predicts is that mirror. We're all patterned, we're all predictable, and it just mirrors back where we are. It mirrors back our nature, what we're doing. And it's like a sense of, well, if you don't like that, then it's showing you that you can wake up from it. It's also got the power to enlighten and get those aha moments, rather than a sense of being used for, well, then you're going to do this. It's like, do you like what you're doing? If not, let's look at these different ways and these different avenues. So really, I work with the tarot to help people understand themselves, their basic nature, the people that are around them and their nature and the rhythm of their life, and how to be okay in the rhythm and ride that rhythm and know that it's going to pass and it's all momentary and that there's gifts in the moment, rather than trying to control it from like a sense of, oh, I must be here, or when will that happen? Because I think when we do that, we kind of mess a little bit with the timing of nature and all of those matrix lines. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I completely understand what you're saying. And I think it's why I was very drawn to bringing you onto the Nature Connection show as well, because clearly because of the link with nature, and we're going to talk some more about that. But also in the complementary health world, you find that a lot, that people are drawn, they come in for the to be fixed, whereas when you work with nature, like the energetic modalities in nature, all what you get, that's the same with the flower essences, you get the mirror back.
Right.
They reflect back to you. So we're looking at exactly the same things here, which is beautiful, very beautiful. So, yeah, and that has actually been my experience as well of tarot in years before. Because we all do that. I mean, it's part of our nature as well. When we're in our darkest moments, we want to know, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We all do it. We all do it. Yeah. So tell us a little, well, let's talk a little bit about the rhythms of nature and how the tarot fits into that. And something that also attracts me a lot for us to talk about is certainly the tarot decks that I have and have had. When I think about them, yes, I see the archetypes, and yes, I see the colours and those kinds of things that come through nature. But most of all, I see nature depicted. And you see and the moon and the sun, and you see trees and the oak tree, and the kings and the queens are often sitting in nature.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's very elemental. And so if we go back to the history of tarot, like, nobody knows where it originates from. It's not like... say the pyramids, which are, you know, kind of, you can't move the pyramids or you can't move Stonehenge, but you can move the tarot, you know. But it does seem to originate back to ancient Egypt. That's one theory, and it's one that I am pretty there with, actually, because quite a lot of the archetypes are Egyptian. There's also a lot of Greek archetypes in the tarot too, so it's like it moved up. I feel it kind of moved up through Egypt, through into Greece, and went on up actually through Italy. And there's a tarot river in Italy. It's called the River Tarot. Mm-hmm. And it's in northern Italy, and it runs through the south of France, funnily enough. There you go. And so I feel it followed that around, along with the Cathars, and then came into England. Well, we have the Romani gypsies around there as well, so it's all spreading up around there. So when we think back to ancient Egypt, of course, there was just nature. There was just really the earth and the sky and the stars and the sun and, you know, it was just nature. So for me, you say you see the colours and you see nature. For me, I see, what do I see? I see the astrology, I see the numerology, and to me, the world is made up of stars, and some people say it's made of maths, even though, you know, as we were saying, we're not particularly mathematical.
It's not our gift, it's not our forte, no.
No. But, you know, you have those structures in it, and you also have the structure of the tree of life in it. So it does encompass everything. It is the book of life. That's what the word tarot means. So then you have the major arcana, which is 22 cards, and you have the minor arcana. So it's made up of two decks, and the minor arcana, it's 56 cards, and it's what our playing cards are related to. And so it has four suits, like our playing cards, but the suits are elemental. So you have swords, which are air, and that relates to thought, because our thoughts come through thin air. And then you have cups, because when you've had the thought, you get the feeling, and the cups represents emotion, so it's water and all that feeling. And then when you've had the thought and the feeling, you get inspired to do some action. So that's where the wands come in. They stand for action and fire and get up and go. And then you have the manifestation of that, which is the pentacle and earth. So in that way, you have the four elements. And it is nature in that sense. So the major arcana is basically, the way I see it, the major arcana is the school of life, and the Fool comes in, and he's the very first card, and he kind of goes through and he meets the magician, and that's his sense of self, and he goes on and he meets the high priestess, which in a way is very much your energy as well, Sarah, you know, and it's that internal intuition type of energy. So he's met his masculine and his feminine self, and then he goes on and he meets the Empress, which represents his mother, Mother Earth, and the Emperor, representing the archetypal father. And it basically is the school of life. It goes on and on and on like that, and until we go to the world. But it's a rhythm, and it doesn't end at the world, it goes on. And of course we shuffle those cards up for readings, so that rhythm gets shuffled up. There's so many different threads to the natural weave of life, isn't there? Mm-hmm. That, you know, it, to make that picture, it is very intricate. And that is where tarot comes into its own, because it's like you can really lay down the picture and really see it. It really is there in front of you. It makes the intangible tangible. And that's what I love about it, one of the many things.
Mm. And I absolutely really, really think it's so empowering that you're taking this thread of allowing people or helping people to use the tarot to empower themselves, rather than to be frightened of what they see. Because again, I think that's happened to many people, certainly happened to me, and it's happened to many listeners, I think, is that we get a card and we don't understand it, and it kind of brings an emotion up in us that's fearful. So we put it aside rather than look at it. We put it aside and think, right, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore, because that didn't tell me the truth. I'm going to change this, you know.
Yeah. So really, you know, another gift with the tarot is that it can help us to change things if we ask it how to. So if there's something that doesn't sit easily with you that you've seen in some way, it's like, okay, well, just ask it what you need to know to kind of change this. It can help you. It can be your friend to kind of give you the information to make that change easier, rather than you just thinking, I don't like what's there, I'm going to change it. Because, you know, we have so much stuff going on in our subconscious, you know, it takes up about 88% of our brain or something along those lines. So, you know, the tarot is here to help your subconscious become conscious. And when you see what you're dealing with, then it's so much easier to be able to make that change. And And that's really what I feel is the true purpose of the tarot. And it's just been very misunderstood, and it's been very condemned, and it's been very made out to be this kind of scary, predictive thing, when really, if we take it right back to the olden days, right back to ancient Egypt, what it was just a mirror of the universe and a way of kind of connecting with the nature and our natural selves, and knowing how to make the best of ourselves and the best of our circumstances. And we've just kind of lost that along the eons, or the eras, should I say.
So you're really seeing the tarot, aren't you? What I'm hearing is that it's a living being.
Yes, it's to me, it's the Akashic records in its form, in its tangible form. So, you know, we talk about these records that are up in the ethereal realms, and they are, but the tarot is the way that we can bring it into human form. It's like us. We are a spirit, but we're in a body. We're in a human body. To me, that's what the tarot is. It's a body of an ethereal Akashic record, to be honest.
And I know you're going to teach us today how we can all use the tarot in a very easy way, but in a very empowering way.
Yes, absolutely. So let's have a look at how this nature can work for you. You know, how you can pin down what I've been talking about for yourselves, and actually just get an easy way in, a quick, easy way into looking at the tarot in a way where, okay, this is how I plug into the natural energies of the day, rather than, okay, let's read the tarot to see what's coming up. Let's be present with it and see if we work with the archetypes in the present day, what that can open up for us, really. So the way that you would start with that is first of all to actually work out your numerological number. And the way that you would work out your numerological number would be to add each separate digit of your birth date together. So, for instance, mine is 1 plus 1 plus 8 plus 1 plus 9 plus 7 plus 7. And when you add that up, it comes to 34. So you might get quite a high number at first, but you want the number to go down to 21 or below. So if you get a number above 21, you just add the two together and you get a single one. So for you, Sara, I know that you are a 9. Were you a double digit before that?
27.
27, right, okay. So yeah, you are really a 9. Okay, so we were talking earlier about how that means that your birth card, or the archetype that you have chosen for this lifetime, is the 9th card in the Major Arcana, or card number 9, should I say, because the Fool is 0, so that can be a bit confusing. The Hermit's really the 10th card, but it's number 9. Yeah. So the 9th card, the Hermit, is very much your archetype in this lifetime. It's what you've chosen to work with in this lifetime. And the Hermit is fantastic as a teacher, also fantastic as a writer. And they have a lot of, they like to go back over things a lot and analyze and the past and learn and learn and learn and learn from that. And they can get a little stuck in their cave sometimes. So there is this kind of thing of like the light that you find in that cave also has to be shone out into the world. But it feels to me like you're getting a good balance with your cave and your light shining out into the world. So in that sense, we, you know, Sarah is a 9 and I am a 7. So the 7th card in the tarot, or should I say card number 7? It's actually the 8th card, but card number 7 is the Chariot. So where you are quite, you maybe take your time with things in some ways, you know, and very, yeah, that's very beautiful, lovely, gentle energy. I'm the opposite. Can't help but be the opposite. Yeah. So the Chariot is really fast and chaotic, and you know, it has one horse that's black and one horse that's white, and they look like they're pulling the opposite ways, but they're actually kind of pulling you forward together. And it's like you're on that chariot and you've got to master these opposite forces of nature, and you're just on this real fast track journey. So that for me is my number. So yeah, if you readers out there would, readers, listeners, maybe you will be readers after this one.
Yeah, reading their own, reading birthdays. Everybody's going to be doing it. I bet you all the listeners right now are adding up. So where would people go to find out the information?
This is it, isn't it? I mean, Google is fantastic. Okay. You can just put into Google, you know, card. I guess the thing to put in might be Trump. The keyword might be Trump number 7 or 9 or whatever your number is. And then that shows your birth card. Okay. But then you can also do your year as well. And how you do that is you change the year you were born for the year that you want to look at. So say you want to look at this year, you know, you would add your day, your month, and your the year of this year, which is a number 8, yes, to your birthday and your month of birth. So interestingly enough, my birthday is tomorrow and I'm going into my hermit year, Sarah.
Oh, so bringing some balance to your chariot.
Yes, you're obviously forerunning it for me. I'm day early. And so then you can also look at the dates. So just if we take today's date, rather than it being anything to do with our birth dates, just take the date of a day. Mm-hmm. Any day you want to look at. So today's date, 1 + 0 + 8. And then the year is an 8 year. So 2 + 1 + 5.
The 10th of August 2005, yes.
Mm. And that adds up to an 8, which is interesting because we've also just had the 8, 8, 8.
Yes.
With the Lion's Gate. So there's a lot of 8 going on. And so today is an 8 and it's star and strength. So that's beautiful in itself. Strength is Leo and we are in the time of Leo and we've had the Lion's Gate. And the star is number 17, which is 1 + 7, which is 8. And they basically both share the same traits. So the star is Aquarius, which is the opposite sign to Leo. And if you lay the major arcana around in a circle, you'll see quite a lot of the opposite signs of the astrology being opposite each other in the circle. And they share the same quality of trust. So today would be a really good day to trust, for instance. But just add up the numbers of any day that you want to look into and look at the trumps. And you've got a quick way in, basically, to how to work with the tarot in the moment and look at what the energies are coming in to that day generally in the earth in the moment and how you can embody that and go forward with it.
There's something about the 7, 8 and the 9, isn't it? But I think the embody of this interview, I'm not really quite sure what it means, what I'm saying, but the 8 is today when we're recording. You're a 7, I'm a 9, so it's being held either side of that as well. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. It's really very interesting, you know, that my birth card is a 7, yours is a 9, and we're connecting on day 8.
Yes, so something going on there. Yeah, well, I know we could listened to you for a long time, Tiffany, and I'd love to have you come back and share with us some more at a later time on Nature Connections. For now, we need to say goodbye to you, but before we do, could you share with everybody how they can find out more about what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So my website is tiffanycrisara.com. Now, that's not an easily spelt name. It is actually from the Tara River region. My husband's family come from there. He says that's why I married him, but I didn't know that before I married him. I do tell him that. I mean, he's got his own story with that, but there we go. So, Crossara is CROSARA. So, tiffanycrossara.com or .uk, both go to the same place. And if you want to sign up there, and I do lots of free kind of articles and podcasts and webinars and all of those things where we can go further really with this little taster. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and I know I encourage listeners to go to your site and to sign up for what you do, because I know you produce some beautiful gifts. I've received them myself and always really enjoy them, and there's also opportunities to go much deeper with you.
Yes, absolutely, there is.
Yeah. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, and have a lovely birthday tomorrow.
Thank you very much. It's a great start to the year.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner, and as I mentioned at the beginning of this show, I've just recently relocated to a new country, so I have been literally off air in many areas of my life for a couple of months as we relocated. I've lived most of my life in the UK. I was living in Kent for the last 25 plus years. My goodness, that's a long time to live anywhere. And I lived in my 20s, I actually lived in France for around 5 years. I studied international marketing at university, and as part of my university education, I took a year out as part of my degree and lived in Paris and loved it so much that when I graduated, rather than going and doing what a lot of my colleagues did, which was to go and get very well-paid jobs in the marketing world, I went to live in Paris and found a job there working in a travel agency. A little bit later, worked for the International Herald Tribune there, and finally ended up teaching English, which was part of my path that led me on to discovering the teacher in myself. But I was there in total after I graduated for 5 years. So during that time, I absolutely loved living in France, adored the culture, loved the people, loved the sense of homeliness, which I couldn't quite find in the UK. And learning to speak French pretty fluently during that time, I always wondered why I was doing that and whether there would be a time in my life when I would return. Well, as it happened, my intuition at that time was working quite well. When I returned to the UK after living in Paris, one of the first things that happened, in inverted commas, to me was meeting my partner, who I'm still with. He's my sole partner. We've been together now for almost 30 years. And one of the things that we decided together, having both been people that travelled a lot during our lives and loved that sort of gypsy side to ourselves, was that we would love to live in another country. Now, I'm telling you all this to really inspire in you that when you have a dream and when it's a soul calling, to stay connected to that, because these things do come in their own divine timing. So around 25 years after my partner Ian and I first started talking about moving abroad, and most probably to France. Well, we've now done it. It's taken us an awful long time. We're as surprised as everybody else that we have actually done it, but here we are. And The move itself was actually very, very easy. Yes, of course, moving is always hard work in a physical sense. We got pretty tired, but and we've taken the summer or some of the summer off to recover and relax. But what was easy was the actual timing of everything. It was almost as if we didn't really need to do anything at all. All we needed to do was wait and allow and then be carried forward. So part of the reason I'm sharing is this is that for quite a few years, the last 5 years, we've been telling our friends and family we're moving to France this year, we're putting our house on the market. And for many reasons, we didn't. All very good reasons, health reasons, exchange rate reasons, just tuning in and knowing that it wasn't the right time. And we always knew that there was a wave that was waiting for us, and that when the wave arrived, we would know, and that at that time, we would need to have everything ready, all our, including our courage, and to just ride that wave. Well, last year, we knew that a wave was there for us and that we needed to jump on our surfboards and really ride that wave. So last summer, we worked very hard to get our house ready. Ian, in particular, was the one that did most of that hard physical work. And at the on the autumn equinox, we placed the house on the market. Now, if I had had the perfect day to do that, that's the day I would have chosen. But I didn't actually choose that. It chose me. We called around the estate agent that we wanted to work with, and it was actually him that suggested that date. And he didn't know on a conscious level that it was the equinox. He just suggested the 22nd of September. He had the space in his diary. It was a great time to actually launch the house. And so we said yes, and there was a part of me that went, wow, what a great day to let go, because it's the autumn equinox. And so we rode that wave and put our house on the market. And I backed that up with a very conscious intention to the universe by actually launching a manifesting with the moon as well on that day. And we really, I really intended with a whole group of people that joined me to let go and to use the energy of the equinox and the moon cycles to help me let go. As it happens, we then hit the Christmas period and everything got a little bit slow. There was a part of us that was a little bit disappointed that the house hadn't sold like really, really quickly. But we also knew that the wave, we were on the wave, and that at the right time, when the sap began to arrive again, at a time when it was easy for us to move, we didn't really want to be travelling across France with our two cats and our furniture in the deep of winter. So we knew that we were being looked after, so we battened down the hatches for the winter and we rested. Now come the spring, the interest began again in the house, and to cut a long story short, on the spring equinox, we accepted an offer from the people who went on to buy our house. So there we have two equinoxes. Again, I didn't choose for that to happen. It was the way it lined up for us, and it wasn't lost on me at all that the spring equinox was the day that we said yes to saying goodbye to our house. The wave had been initiated 6 months earlier. And here we were now saying yes. The magic didn't stop there. We then went on to exchange contracts at new moon. Again, the day chose us, not the other way around. What a great day to exchange a contract. We then, having done that and had a, we didn't quite know the date when the move was going to happen, but we knew that we had to get going. We knew we had to find a house to rent here. We needed to book tickets, etc., etc. So we found a cottage here and we knew that we needed to move ourselves and our two cats and to take some of our belongings with us. And so we looked at the tunnel and we chose a specific date. I think it was something like the 24th of June. We thought, right, we can get everything ready for that date. Well, as it happens, we couldn't book tickets at that date. And the only day when there was tickets to go in that window was the 21st of June, which, as you may know, is the summer solstice. So we took a deep breath and kind of thought, okay, well, we'll just need to be ready for the 21st of June, and we booked our tickets. So on the summer solstice, on the longest day of the year, we actually left our house. It was before the new people were due to move in. So there was still a window of that happening, but we just left. We literally packed up as much as we could, and we walked out the house with our two cats. And we drove on the longest day all the way down to the south of France, arriving here just before 10 o'clock when it was still light, and there was some lovely deer that greeted us actually out through the woods. So here again was some magic that the universe was lining us up for us to actually experience the longest day and to use the big transformational portal to leave the UK, to leave our old lives and start again. The magic on a very practical level was also that the day after we left, the strike actually happened at the Channel Tunnel and in Calais. And for 2 weeks after that, the tunnel was closed. So there we go, we were given a great gift. We actually managed to leave the UK with our cats before that all happened. And if we hadn't done that, we would have literally been homeless with our two cats and a load of furniture for the time after the new people were due to move in. So what a gift, and what a great way to just move within what is being shown to you as the right way forward, and just trusting the process. So again, when we step up, when we pay attention to the seasons, everything lines up to actually to join us. So I encourage you to start paying attention and just to see how the universe always supports you. So there's a few more bits of magic to actually share with you. So after we moved on the equinox, the money actually was exchanged for the house. The house sale went through and we received the money. And of course, it was full moon when that happened. The day that the new people moved in, the money was transferred to our account, was full moon. Again, I couldn't have chosen a better day. And here again was the lunar cycle supporting me. So to end it off all really nicely, we then spent 2 weeks, more or less, without hardly any furniture because the removals couldn't get through due to the tunnel being closed. And when that started to move again, when the traffic started to move, and they could come over on the ferry, the van arrived at New Moon. And what a great day to receive our furniture. Ian was able to connect with his musical equipment again. A lot of my essences and books arrived again. My desk arrived so I could stop working off a cardboard box and actually start working in a comfortable way again, and that was at New Moon. So this is very much what I call manifesting with the moon. And I began the Essentially Flowers Manifesting with the Moon programs a couple of years ago. And we've run quite a few Manifesting with the Moons. And they've been such wonderful transformational journeys. We're running the next one in September at New Moon. So I'll make sure and let you know that. And maybe even give some special prices to Nature Connections listeners, because I've discovered that when we trust in this, in the universe, in the nature kingdom supporting us, magic really does happen. So I'm also going to share with you some of the essences that I have used during this time to support me and also our cats as we moved. I'll do that just after the break, when I'll be sharing with you some of the essences that have supported me during this time. So I'll speak to you again very, very shortly.
You're listening to the Nature Connections Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.
Welcome back to the Nature Connections Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. This is the second part of today's Nature Connections show, where I'm sharing with you a little bit about my journey to France, my relocation to France, and how the Nature Kingdom has supported me in this endeavour. So in the first part of this show, I shared with you how the lunar cycles actually lined up to support us in this move, in this relocation, and how it was all lined up for me. I couldn't have chosen the dates myself, and I believe if I had tried to force things to happen on certain dates, it wouldn't have happened at all. We just jumped onto the wave and allowed it to carry us. Now, part of this, my belief is that because I have paid attention and loved the moon for so many years of my life, I began connecting with her in my 30s in a search for fertility. I then really got immersed in her magic and continued to follow her cycles even beyond when I didn't need to do that anymore for fertility reasons, and used her ability to create fertility in the much bigger sense of the picture in our lives. I have always loved the portals, the equinoxes. They've made complete sense of my life, allowing me to embrace the seasons that don't naturally come along with my personality. I'm very much a fire element person. I love the summer. I love the heat. So therefore, winter is a time of year which naturally doesn't particularly suit me. But tuning into how the water element runs so deeply through our lives, and that we need the water to put out the fire, and we need the stillness of the winter time to actually allow ourselves to rest, actually made such sense to me that I have always embraced the journey of the year in this way. So if you didn't hear the first part of the show, you can hear me sharing how the equinoxes and the solstices actually lined up to support us in our journey. So in this second part of the show, I'd like to share with you some of the essences that I used and continue to use, which I believe also helped us to stay calm and to access the support. Many people often say to me, "Sarah, you're so busy. How on earth do you manage to do everything?" Now, there are some days when I do ask myself that question myself. But actually, when I drop down into my heart and really listen to how I'm guided to live my life, I know that I'm always supported, as are you, at all times of my life. And that I can always call on the cycles of the moon and the seasons to support me, as can you. The Nature Kingdom is here to support us. The seasonal cycles and the lunar cycles are also here to support us all. And when we pay attention to them, when we love them, they can support us during all times of our life. So it can support you on a daily basis. Just being aware that actually the actual time of my recording this show, we are in dark moon. So just being aware of that and bringing some darker moon energies into your life at that time, even though you might be having a very busy day. So ways of doing that might be to do some dark moon color breathing, which would be some indigo breathing or some purple breathing. And just each time you take an in-breath, just take that ray through your body. As you breathe out, allow it to run through your cells, run through the meridians. And you'll find that you will actually be able to access those more reflective energies, even in very busy times of your life. So that's one of the ways that you can bring the lunar energies through into your life. And then when we use the essences as well, we are really breaking down any resistances that we might have to being supported in life. And for those of you who have followed my Nature Connection shows, or maybe know me a little bit, you might know that in the flower essence terms, one of my constitutional essences is the oak. So in its positive form, when we're oak constitutional people in balance, we are strong, confident, capable people who are able to support others in quite deep and profound ways. When we go out of balance, We ignore the physical messages of our bodies. We push through barriers and we find it very hard to stop. And this is, of course, when we can experience burnout and also ignore what the universe is trying to tell us. And at that time, that's when we can get ill, that's when we can feel overwhelmed and exhausted. So I've taken oak essences from the batch system. I use the Healing Herbs essences for a long, long time, and I'm very much a recovering oak. So it's no surprise to me that where I am actually now living, just outside of Bordeaux, we're completely surrounded by oak and pine. And so when I walk down the country lanes, I meet oak all the time. I almost don't need to take her essence anymore because I'm completely surrounded by her all the time. So that's of no, I'm very aware of that message for me. We've also moved into one of the purest energy air areas of Europe because we are very much as well in a pine forest. So when you step outside, you can actually smell a very sweet smell, which is partly the earth, because there's hardly anybody else around. We have lots of lichen growing here, which is a sign of pure air. But you can access this very sweet fragrance that permeates through, particularly after rain or at dawn and dusk, or when there's a lot of heat, which there has been this summer. And the pine essence marries very well with oak essence. Pine essence is for those of us who, when we stop doing what we've been so used to do, the patterns that we've engaged with since childhood. So for me, it would be something along the lines of, if I don't work hard, that means I'm not a worthy person and I'll feel very guilty. The guilt will be there for me, and I might not know it as that word guilt. I'll just know that on some level I might feel guilty for taking time out for myself or for not working very hard. Now, since I've been working with essences, which is a long time now, I've become very aware of those patterns and have put a lot of work into dissolving them. But we're all human beings. There's always a deeper level to drop down into. So I love now that I'm living alongside pine and that she's truly supporting me in just dropping those patterns and dissolving them once and for all so that my life can be much more balanced. So oak and pine have been very, very much with me as I've spent the last couple of months living in my new home. So some of the other essences that I have been taking in a more physical way, oak and pine have just literally been with me. When I open my eyes in the morning and look out the window from my bedroom, I see pine. When I look out my office window where I am now, I can see oak. Yesterday I recorded a video and I literally placed my computer just seconds away from where I'm living and leant my spine up against oak. An oak tree. So she's very easy to access when I need her energies. So some of the other essences that I've been using, one of my favorites that I actually started taking last year and also took throughout the winter and especially during the times when we were saying goodbye to our house, was the letting go combination, which is made by the wild animal essences. Now, this is a range of essences that we teach about on our practitioner diploma. They are essences made in a shamanic fashion by Daniel Maple, who is the founder of Wild Animal Essences. They are really a range of our times and just work so beautifully to allow the wisdom of the animals to support us in a spiritual and energetic way, so that when we have transition periods or challenges to pass through in our lives, and who hasn't got those, the wisdom of the animals can come and support us. So the three essences that make up the letting go formula are dove essence. Now, dove is all about bringing peace into our lives. So when we're going through a period of letting go, we all need to access a vibration of peace, because in any letting go period, there is an aspect of chaos, of new, of fear, as we say goodbye to the old. So the dove just brings in this ray of lovely peace of, it's okay, all is well, trust, I'm here, I'm with you. The other essence, or the other two essences, one of them is seal. A seal, if you just imagine a seal swimming through the sea, what they do is they use their flippers quite intensively to push them through. They swim, 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 putting their flippers together, and then they let go, and the momentum of that allows them to glide through the water, and then they use their flippers again to actually carry them further. So it's a little bit like that in life when you use seal essence, which is in the letting go, is that we do our best during the active times of our day or week, and we try our hardest, that's the flippers coming together to create a momentum, and then we let go. We let go of any guilt that we haven't done it well enough, or we haven't tried hard enough, or that we made the wrong decisions, and we just allow life to carry us, which works beautifully with all the lunar cycles. So that's the seal component. And then finally we have jellyfish. And again, it's a water creature, a water being. So we have an air being with dove, and then two water beings through seal and jellyfish. And jellyfish is, if you want an essence to help you let go, jellyfish is probably the essence to go for. And this is just letting go. It's allowing yourself to be transformed, allowing yourself to be carried into that next space of your life. It's a great essence for anybody that can't sleep, because part of sleeping or not sleeping is the inability to let go. Because what bigger letting go can we ever experience than going to sleep? So together, jellyfish, seal and dove make up the letting go combination. You can experience this by going to the Wild Earth Animal Site, and purchasing their essences there. I'm not affiliated in any way to this. Just go along and have a look at Daniel's site. If you'd like to learn more about their essences and you'd like to learn how to allow the nature kingdoms to support you through essences and also through the lunar cycles, then please check out my courses on essentiallyflowers.com. Our practitioner diploming is enrolling right now. Flower essences work wonderfully alongside other modalities, works wonderfully alongside modalities like massage. Putting essences into essential oils is a wonderful way to carry the message of the essence through. Can you imagine if you have a tight muscle, how wonderful putting the letting go energy through that and just asking the body to let go of any tightness in the muscles. So if you're an aromatherapist and work with essential oils, you could see how beautifully essences could support you there. Works equally well with reflexology, placing the intention of the essences through the reflex points in the feet. Reiki, wonderful, absolute wonderful companion for Reiki. For any of you who work with crystals, we also look at crystal elixirs on our practitioner diploma. Any form of spiritual healing, we've had a chiropractor come through our training and help, and now helps people, a lady called Julia Flash, with the emotional side of any spinal adjustments that need to be made. We are such emotional beings, and although flower essences do not treat the physical in any way, any adjustments that need to be made in our energy system, because after all we are beings of energy, can be really assisted with flower essences. So I hope you've enjoyed hearing a little bit about how essences have supported me and how the Nature Kingdom has supported me in this Nature Connection show. And I look forward to seeing you again next week on the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. Many blessings to you from myself and the Nature Kingdom.
You're listening to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and moonflower essences. Your weekly connection, direct to the heart of nature.